Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Austin Price joins us. Austin, how are you?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. How are you?
Wonderful, man. And hope the holiday week goes well for you here. And what's going to be a busy week setting up for Tennessee and Vandy with a lot at stake. But before we preview a bit of that game, let's go back to Saturday. Because on Friday, you and I were discussing what Jeremy Pruitt did last week, where you felt like maybe he turned it up a notch at practice to make sure the focus and the energy behind the final two games was there. We just didn't see that product on the field. Why not?
You know, they came out flat. And, you know, even on the ball walk, he stopped the team on the ball walk and made the point to kind of say, look around you, look at all the people that show up to support you every week. Just take this in. Understand, you know, you're playing for more than yourself, you know, but you're still playing for yourself. And, you know, because he still came out flat, as he said, you know, it did. And that was a good thought, but it did not work. You know, Tennessee, you know, struggled offensively early. Garantano got hit on that first series, was groggy after that, eventually comes out and doesn't play the rest of the game. And Keller Crist, while, you know, he does certain things well, is limited in his skill set. And so Tennessee's offense just kind of, you know, sputtered. Tennessee's defense had no answer for Missouri. You know, there were a couple of bright spots. A player like Emmett Gooden played pretty well Saturday, but for the most part, It was a train wreck on both sides of the ball, and for the second consecutive year, Missouri beat Tennessee by the same score, 50-17.
Austin, I know Garantano status and Callaway status day to day, but if you go a layer deeper, what do you think that actually means? Do you think they have a chance to play this week?
I do. I think that's just, you know, I mean, he's going to come out and say they're definitely playing. You know, but I mean, like, every intention for both players is that they'll play Saturday. You know, knowing Garantano and his toughness, I'd be shocked if number two's not out there suiting up, you know, Saturday at 3 o'clock your time, 4 o'clock Eastern against Vanderbilt. You know, he knows how big this game is. And as long as, I think he'll do everything in his power over the next few days to make sure, you know, he gets cleared to play Saturday, and Tennessee needs him, because if they're going to beat Vanderbilt, you know, and avoid a fifth loss in 7 years to the Commodores and three in a row, but they're going to need Jared Garantano to be the quarterback.
And I know you mentioned the offense not being able to get going. Were you more surprised that the defense failed the way they did against Missouri's offense? I know Missouri can move the football, but if there's anything we can count on, it has been Tennessee's defense to at least be solid and show up.
Yeah, but I mean, I do think that this is still a, you know, a defense that, you know, has got plenty of holes. I mean, like, you know, they at times are able to, you know, plug up the holes a little bit. But, you know, when they face a certain kind of team, you know, you all go back to the West Virginia game, you know, the way you played offensively in the first half and held onto the ball and grinded it out, you were in the game. But, you know, once West Virginia kind of got going, they were going to be, you know, tough to stop. Same thing with Missouri. Missouri's offense is extremely hard to defend. They spread you out. And Locke's he's a pro's pro. He'll be a pro next year. I mean, he's a very good quarterback, and they've got options at tailback. So I always felt like Saturday was going to be a tough matchup for Tennessee. You just kind of felt like the offense had shown enough in recent weeks, you know, in league play, going back to South Carolina and Kentucky, that, you know, they might be able to score with them and potentially beat Missouri. But once Garantano went out, the offense just kind of never, you know, it showed a few flashes here and there, but it never showed consistency. Tennessee wasn't going to slow down Missouri's offense at all.
Chad was here earlier, and he mentioned that the Hail Mary against Kentucky to end the half, he had the reverse reaction to the interception that Keller Crist had to end the half. Did you feel the same way?
Well, I mean, you're going in, and you potentially, you know, cut it to two if you score a touchdown there. If not, you know, you're going to be down less than a score at the half. Instead, you know, it's 7 points going the other direction. and it did kill the momentum. I thought the crowd, while, you know, wasn't a full stadium, you know, 75,000 people or so there, I thought they were loud for the size crowd that, you know, Tennessee had Saturday. And they were into the game. And that was like a little pin pop on a balloon. You know, the air just kind of just, you know, went out of the stadium when Keller Chris threw the pick. And, you know, even when Tennessee went down the score of the second half, you just kind of got the feel, you know, Missouri's, you just can't be down more than two scores against Missouri, because you're likely not going to get stops when Tennessee's not very good at linebacker. They're not able to get a pass rush unlock. And then the secondary can only do so much.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com with us. I'm looking ahead a little bit here. If Tennessee falls to Vanderbilt, could you see a change at offensive coordinator if they were to lose that game? Like, does Tyson Helton have something to prove this week?
Well, I mean, I think every coach on the staff has something to prove every week. You know, but I mean, specifically Tyson Helton, I mean, you know, Tennessee's offense has been a point of contention this year amongst fans. You know, I mean, there's been plenty of talk about how inconsistent they've been. But I mean, a lot of people talk about Will Friend too. You know, honestly, you know, I don't think it's Will Friend's fault. Now that I think at times last year when Tennessee struggled to protect, was it Walt Wells' fault? You go back to the decisions made in 2012 by Derek Dooley and his staff to not take an offensive lineman in that class. I think that was debilitating up front. And then, you know, you have a whole other class of linemen when you go back to the class that had Zach Stewart, Jack Jones, Denzel Bulware, Drew Richmond, and Chance Hall. I mean, you know, Jack Jones, unfortunately, you know, medicaled out. Chance Hall, for all intents and purposes, has been medicaled out the last few years. Drew Richmond's never been what everybody thought he was going to be. Denzel Bulware transferred. Zach Stewart's mother tragically passed away the day he was supposed to move in, and he never made it to campus. So, I mean, when you look at that, that's basically two years out of a three-year span that your offensive line, you had nothing, you know. And so when that happens, you know, I think it's hard to overcome. So I think, you know, it's a combination of different things up front. I think all that has an effect on what Tyson Helton's working with. I think all that has an effect on how Garantano plays, how the receivers, you know, perform. And so I think it all starts up front. And I don't necessarily think it's on Will Friend. I think it's just, you know, a calamity of errors that date back 6 years.
You know, and I'm eager to see the reaction, win or lose, to Tennessee, because if you get to 6-6, you can point to wins against Kentucky and Vanderbilt and Auburn, and you can point to that close game at South Carolina. There would be some positives there to take from that, plus the bowl practices and everything else that comes with it. You lose that game, and it's just a different feeling about how that season went top to bottom and start to finish.
You're exactly right. You can't call the year a failure, but it would be a disappointment to be sitting there with five wins, with two games left, and fail to win either one, especially another loss to Vanderbilt, which would make it 5-7, three in a row for the first time since, you know, the Titanic was, you know, didn't even have algae growing on it yet down at the bottom of the Atlantic. I mean, when you put it all into perspective, I never was a big fan of everybody saying, well, man, Vanderbilt's getting, you know, Vanderbilt wins this game, man. They'll have more to play for. And Vanderbilt was always going to have something to play for. Sure. Even if they lost to Ole Miss. I mean, they're playing for something that's far bigger, which is state supremacy. You know, I mean, they get to go to the Liberty Bowl or the Birmingham Bowl. They don't care about that. They would much rather beat Tennessee than go to that bowl game, in my opinion. And so now they get a chance to do both. And so, you know, I think Tennessee, you know, will have to come out. They'll have to come out and play well early. Sorry, I got a big bus going by here on campus. But they're going to have to come out and match the intensity level, because Vanderbilt's going to come out fired up. They're going to come out ready to play. And this is a very solid Vanderbilt football team. Do they do anything that great? No. But did they do anything bad? No. And it's why that every game, whether they've been a three-touchdown favorite like Tennessee State or a three-touchdown underdog, they've been in every game. I mean, every game's a close game with Vanderbilt. And, you know, they're a very good football team. They're experienced at quarterback. They've got a great running back in Keyshawn Vaughn. And Derek Mason does a really good job with that defense. And I said last night on TV, Jonathan, at the end of the day, it's not your dad's Kentucky. And it's not your dad's Vanderbilt. These two programs have improved immensely. You know, Derek Mason has come in after James Franklin. And frankly, has he done exactly what Franklin did? No, but he has sustained and kept them competitive. And I think that speaks volumes about what Mason's done as a head coach. And I think he deserves a lot of credit because, you know, that thing could have fallen off after James Franklin left when he had him, you know, winning 8-9 games. And Mason has really kind of, you know, done a nice job of steadying everything. And they've got some nice wins up there at Mason since he took over at Vanderbilt.
Better game this coming weekend after Thanksgiving, Tennessee Vanderbilt or Oakland Maryville?
You know, I would say Oakland Maryville, except for T. Hodge is out. You know, Maryville's dynamic junior running back. You know, he's got a crack in his fibula. Will miss the rest of the season. I'll say this: Kevin Creasy is my guy over at Oakland, but yeah. I'll be the first to tell him this, John. If he fails to beat Maryville this week, you know, I don't know if he's ever going to beat Maryville consistently, because this is the time you've got to get Maryville. They're down a little bit. Now they've lost arguably their best player. Oakland's got everybody coming back off of that team that, you know, realistically should have beat Maryville a year ago over in Blount County. And, you know, this is a big game for both sides, but specifically the Patriots of Oakland. They've got to find a way to win this one. It all starts with better quarterback play. If they get that, I think they got a real shot to bring home a gold ball.
Austin Price of VolQuest.com, our guest. Austin, let's try to catch up on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And if we cannot, happy Thanksgiving. We'll catch up with you after Tennessee Vandy.
Anytime you guys need me.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, guys.